Michael Green, in one of his books, quotes the comic Steve Martin as saying, "It's hard to believe in anything anymore." And Steve Martin says, "I guess I wouldn't believe in anything if it weren't for my lucky astrology mood watch." No one believes in nothing. Everyone has faith of some sort in something. The only differences are in the object of our faith and its intensity. Green gives an example of this in this way. He says, every day, millions of people go to a doctor whose name they can't pronounce and whose degrees they've never verified. He gives them prescriptions that they can't read. They take it to a pharmacist that they've never seen before. He gives them a compound that they don't understand. Then they go home and they take the pill according to the instructions on the bottle, all in trusting sincere faith. Many times I hear people say to me, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I have my own beliefs. I have my own form of Christianity. I have my own form of faith. What I do is I blend together different beliefs from different religions, or I add to my Christian beliefs other beliefs from other religions." But when we believe like this, the object of our faith is distorted. Our faith cannot be spread out or diluted into little bits and pieces like this, because what we are saying is we're not sure about any one thing. So we've put a whole bunch of things into the mix. True faith is being sure of something. But when we need so many things to be sure, we find we're not really sure of any of them at all. But one thing we can and should all be sure of is that faith in Jesus Christ pleases God, saves us from our sins, gives us eternal life, and empowers us now to conquer life here on earth. Paul said to the Philippians, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And if anyone knew anything about the blessing of having faith in Jesus Christ, Paul did. Our text today in Hebrews also tells us something encouraging about faith. Our text comes following chapter 11, continues from chapter 10, where the writer said in chapter 10, if you remember when you were with us last time, "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He's promised. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are of those who believe and are saved." And now says, now, of those who believe and are saved, we say, "Well, that's so hard. It's hard to persevere. It's hard to believe." And he's saying you have to have faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That word faith, the original writer here would have written in the Greek using the word pistis, meaning a persuasion or a moral conviction, specifically of a religious truth or truthfulness of God. So what the writer is saying is being sure of and certain of the thing that we are persuaded of or convicted of, that thing that gives us hope, even though we haven't seen it, we're certain of it, that is what faith is. Folks, faith is not saying to God, "Oh God, if you'll just give me a sign, if you'll just show me, then I'll go, then I'll say, then I'll do." That's not faith. Faith is, "Oh God, I will go, I will do, I will say. Even though I don't understand, even though I can't see the end result, I'll go because looking back, God, I can see that every time I trusted in You and had faith in You, You never let me down and You blessed me and made me strong and raised me up." We're sure and certain, no questions asked, even though we don't understand it, we still trust it. Now today we live in a show-me-proof world. I want to see the proof before I'm going to move. I want to see before I believe. And sadly, that's the attitude with which many approach God. They want a sign. And if God doesn't produce, then in their minds He's not real or He doesn't care. But that's not the way it works with God. The writer's saying that's not what true faith is. What is true faith? The writer gives us an example here. In today's language, what the writer would be saying is, "Okay, let me show you. It's like this. He starts off by saying, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Okay? Did we see it happen? Were we there? Did we watch Him create? No. But we can trust that He did it because His Word says He did it. We can look around and see that it's like His Word says. And we do see the result of what He did, so we are certain of it. Or we should be. We should be certain of it. And He says now, like you can look around and see, it's evident, so you can trust that God did create it. You can look now, let me show you some people as an example that you can look at and you can see and you might have faith like them. He says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil, but Abel brought the fat portions, the best of the firstborn of his flock to God. Other than that, we don't know why Abel's was more acceptable to God. We do know it was brought in faith because God's word says so. Next he goes on to say, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he was a man of faith because he pleased God, because without faith, you can't please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch was taken up, didn't experience death, because he was a man that was commended as one who pleased God. He was a man of faith. So God lifted him up and raised him up. He did not taste death. Boy, doesn't that start to ring some bells. I don't know about you folks, but that's what the message of the gospel is. It's by faith we're saved, by faith we're raised up. Don't experience death, that eternal death, separation from God. Now we come on to some of my favorites. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, Noah built an ark to save his family. By his faith, what did he do? He condemned the world, and he became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Boy, there goes my mind to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He came into the world, although the world didn't receive Him. To those who did receive Him, He gave the right to become children of God, heirs of the promise. How? By faith. By receiving Him, by believing Him. Noah had such faith that he built an ark where there wasn't any water. It took him years and years and years to build it. I heard someone say it took him 100 years to build this ark. When the time came, his faith paid off. When the rains came down, the floods came up. Noah was warned by God, and he obeyed God, and he built an ark, although he couldn't even see, he didn't understand. He said, all right, I'm going to do it, because you said it, God. Not because I understand, not because I can see, but because you said it. Another one of my favorites. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't even know where. But by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. In verse 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, for those of you who think, I'm getting along in years, I'm past my expiration date, God, what can God really do for me? I'm in aches, I have all these aches and pains. Can God really help me? By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. In other words, they had a child. Something was impossible because they were long in years. But Abraham considered God, the one who made the promise, faithful and trusted in him. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, meaning he was an old man, from him came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as countless as the sand on the seashore. He obeyed God and he went. He considered God faithful, and the result was a great nation came from Abraham. Oh, how did I live that out? God told me to go, and I knew that I had to go or I'd be in a lot of trouble. And I went, and God has blessed everything that I've done by faith. He goes on to say, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things that were promised in this life. And that's our downfall. We expect to receive them right now. And we do receive blessings. But the promise is not for this life. The promise is for the kingdom of God in eternity. Abraham obeyed God and went. He lived in a foreign land. He trusted God that he would have an heir. And he considered God faithful and he was blessed with many heirs. These people never saw the promise of a great nation, of living in a new land of plenty and peace. Their faith was real because they didn't see the proof first. They just simply obeyed because they were sure and certain that God was faithful to his promise. And their faith was proven because they were looking ahead to what they couldn't see yet, instead of behind to what they could see. In other words, they were walking by faith, not by sight. You see, we don't make deals with God. We don't say, "Oh God, I'll go if you, I'll do this if you." No, we don't do that. It doesn't work that way with God. We say, "All right, God, I don't understand it. I can't see the end result, but you're telling me to do this. I'm going." That's how it works with God, and we're blessed because we're obedient to God. You see, they were trusting in what God was promising rather than what God had already provided. They were standing on the promises of God. And then after Isaac was born, Isaac, the promised offspring of Abraham and Sarah, the one through whom the covenant would be passed, after he was born, God tested Abraham. Now let me tell you something here. If you read the story of Abraham like we've been doing in Genesis and studying, Abraham wasn't ready for this when he started out. When God called him in the land of the Chaldeans, he wasn't ready for this. Little by little, and every step of faith that Abraham took, and it wasn't a step like off of a cliff, "I'm going and I hope God catches me." It was a step of faith up the ladder, closer to God. Every step of faith that Abraham took, even though he disobeyed, God guided him back in the way God wanted him to go, and God provided for him. But in faith, he kept following God's voice. And what God was doing, God was building Abraham up. Building him up until this point. That by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though it didn't make sense. God had said to him, "It's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham's probably thinking, "This does not make a bit of sense. The offspring is supposed to come through Isaac, and God wants me to sacrifice him?" But Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. In other words, if I kill him, God can even raise him if he desires. So I've got to be obedient to God. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. He was blessed because he was obedient. Okay? By faith, Moses, his parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was an ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. But by faith, Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But what did he do? In faith, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, the Hebrew people, rather to enjoy those pleasures of living in Egypt, those pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead, not what he understood, not what he knew, not what he already saw. He was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, what did he do? He came back to Egypt. He left Egypt by faith. He came back to Egypt by faith because God said, "I want you to go there." And by faith, he came back and God said, "I want you to take a lamb. I want you to kill it and put the blood over the lintel and the doorpost so that the angel of death will pass over." And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, he left Egypt. The people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. All by faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. As God's people were about to enter the promised land, there was this enormous city with these great big walls, impenetrable. How are we going to do this? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. God says, I want you to march around, blowing your horns for 7 days, and on the seventh day, I want you to do it seven times. Sounds a little crazy. We're not supposed to say anything. We're just supposed to go around this city tooting our horns, making a lot of noise. But it was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell, because they were in faith obedient to God. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Rahab was a vessel that God used to save his people as they entered the promised land. And also mentioned here in what we call the hall of faith is Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Then there were those who were chained, stoned, put in prison, sawed in two, flogged and made fun of. They were persecuted and mistreated because of their faith in Christ. They even wandered like lost people living in caves and holes in the ground. I think of the ending of the movie Braveheart, where William Wallace, they lay him out in public display. They finally get him after he remained faithful to God. They finally tricked him and captured him. And because of his faith, he lay there on public display as they butchered him and would not renounce his faith and pledge his allegiance to the king, because he pledges his allegiance to Almighty God. And they butchered him, and they spread his parts out all over England to tell the people, you will worship the king. Verse 39 tells us these people were all commended for their faith, and that they were eventually received into heaven. They received the heavenly reward, even though they never received the promised coming again of the Messiah in their lifetime. They did receive the promised reward in heaven. You see, what God had planned was something better for the faithful, something we cannot yet see, but we have to have faith in that we will see. And that's the heavenly kingdom, where together with all who have gone before us in faith, we will be made perfect. So we look at all these folks here in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. The writer says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are of those who believe and are saved. We are of those who have faith in being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And remember, back in chapter 4, it reminds us that the promise still stands. Make sure that you are not found to have fallen short of that promise. And the writer says, here, let me show you. It's like these guys here. And the reason that the writer shares these examples with us is that as we grow in our faith, we begin to look at the stories of these people and we say, hey, that's me. I'm going through that right now. That's me. We say, when I offered my best to God, like Abel did, God commended me in one way or another. God asked me to do something that seemed crazy, like building an ark in the middle of nowhere, but when I obeyed him, he blessed me. Or maybe I'm like Abraham. God asked me to move to some new place or go to some new job or to do something in school or to go back to school. I felt like a stranger there, but he used me there and he blessed me there. Or maybe you needed something impossible to happen, like an old person having a child. But you trusted God anyway. It didn't make sense. You trusted God and it happened. Maybe you're getting up there in years, like I said, and you feel like you're past your date. It can happen. God is a God of miracles and power. We have to have faith. Maybe in faith you decided to sacrifice or give up the thing that you loved more than anything else in life. And when you went to do that, because you were obedient and faithful, God provided a way out, and you still get to enjoy that thing. I can't tell you how scary it was. to leave a family business that had been in business for 55 years, started in 1945 by my grandfather. I had run it myself for 23 years. We had a brand new house, two little children. You want me to do what, God? That doesn't make a bit of sense. But I knew I had to, because these folks in here that did it were faithful and followed God and were blessed, showed me that if I do the same, God's faithful and just and is faithful to His promise. And I said, God, I don't know what You're asking me to do. I don't know why You're asking me to do this. I am the most unlikely person. But Lord, I'm willing to give it all up for You. Everything. But you lead me. You're my leader. You're my guide. I want to know what it is You want me to do so that I don't make a fool out of myself and worse yet make a fool out of You. Doors opened, lights came on, things happened. It was amazing. God called me to go 2.5 hours away to leave everything behind. I was scared. But I knew I had to leave the land of the Chaldeans and go to the promised land, not seeing the blessings, not experiencing the blessings, because I knew I had to be faithful and trust and walk by faith, not by sight. And what a blessing it has been, and it continues to be. Maybe like Moses, you chose not to associate with certain people because they weren't following God or doing God's will. You gave up the party life to follow God and were used by God in a great way to lead others to Him. Maybe you chose to obey God's commands and God protected you from depression and sin, which leads to death. There might have been a time in life that seemed like you were standing there looking at the Red Sea. It was impossible to get over to that other side. It was impossible to pass through. But you said, oh God, please part these waters for me. And God did, and He brought you through. Maybe there was a wall that kept you from enjoying God's blessed life that He wants for you. But because you trusted in God, that wall, like the walls of Jericho, came down and you marched on in and claimed that life that God has for you. Through faith in God, like these people, kingdoms will be conquered, justice administered, mouths of lions shut, flames quenched, escape from the things in life that cut you down, your weakness will be turned to strength, oceans will be parted. So you might ask, so how do I get that kind of faith? I want my name to be in that hall of faith. Paul said to the Romans, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We turn back to the Word of God to remind us that, as chapter 4 told us, the promise still stands, the promise of entering His rest, to not be obedient like His children that wandered in the desert disobediently, not believing God, and they were destroyed. The promise remains that if we are obedient and follow God, we will enter into that promised land. You see, we want proof. We want to see. And here we can see in the faces of faith, we can see the proof of God's faithfulness in rewarding those who earnestly seek Him in faith. Faith has a face for us to look at and say, I've got to be like Abraham. I've got to be like Moses. I've got to be like Noah. Because if I live in faith like they did, God will bless me like He did them. And as we trust in God, being sure and certain of His promises in His Word, these faces become our faces. We can see the proof in our own lives that faith honors God and God honors faith. You don't need proof. You need faith. You need persuasion and moral conviction that what God says, He will do. And that persuasion and conviction comes through hearing His Word over and over and over and over and over and over again. And seeing those who have gone before us in faith and the blessing they received eternally for being certain of what we do not see. The proof isn't in the pudding, the proof's in the Word of God. Now, for those of you who want to know what you can do to increase your faith, next week we'll explore the most important element in the life of a Christian. But until then, May Almighty God speak to us. May He call us to unfamiliar places, to do uncomfortable things, so that we might learn to trust God, grow in our faith, trust God with certainty, and be commended by God for our faith. Let's pray. Father, it is